Welcome to Based on Balls, where it takes one ball to play but two balls to win. My name's Greg.
And my name is Jordan.
Jordan, once again hailing from down there in sunny Australia for you.
Yeah, it's beautiful out today. Must be about 80 degrees.
Well, lovely. We are within 1 week of the Major League Baseball season starting off. So, once again, we got a jam-packed show for you here on Based on Balls. But before we begin, there's a couple, kind of more administrative things that I want to talk about. The first one is, you had a great idea last year, Jordan, when you said, you know, not everyone is probably on the same page as us yet in terms of being able to talk about some fantasy stats and knowledge and all this sort of thing. Some people may want to know a little bit more about fantasy baseball leagues and how to play the game itself. And we got a solution for that.
So last year in our first podcast, we basically went through the general rules and the general formats for all the different types of fantasy baseball. And so if you want to get an understanding of the game, the best place to go would be our first podcast from last year, which, Greg, where can they find that?
You can find that on iTunes. You can find that on podomatic.com if you do a search for Based on Balls. Heck, we're catering to you, the audience. If you send us an email to basedonballs@gmail.com, heck, I might even be able to throw that right back in the attachment of the email for you. A little personal service here right at the beginning of another fantasy baseball season. I can't guarantee that sort of personalized feel and that personalized service will continue well into the season, but for now, maybe I'll do you one solid. So the other thing I wanted to talk about from last season was a bet board that you and I had created. And it had, I believe, 9 different bets on it about players' performance. And we had said that whoever lost the majority of those bets was going to need to attend a baseball game wearing a dress. Now, Jordan, who won that bet board?
Well, it's tough to say who won. There's never black and white. It's more of like a gray area.
Gray area.
Yeah, it's kind of in that gray area. Technically, if you want to, get down to the technicals,
Let's get technical here.
I would say that you won the bet board, Greg.
Okay, so that means that at some point in time this season, now currently Jordan's in Australia, but when he gets back to the country, him and I are going to attend a baseball game. Jordan is going to be my date, and he's going to wear a very pretty dress that we go down to the thrift store and purchase. Jordan, what franchise's baseball game do you think we should see?
Due to my proximity in New York, I think we're going to have to go to a New York Mets baseball game because I don't want anyone to see me wearing a dress, so I figure the Mets are probably better than the Yankees.
Fair enough. I don't really think there's going to be a lot to get excited for the Mets this year, so I don't think anyone will be attending their games either. But anyway, you can look forward to those pictures of Jordan and I getting out. A night on the town, and it should be a lovely. I don't know, Jordan. What's your favorite color?
I might wear a Yankee pinstripe dress. I'm not sure yet.
Okay, so look forward to that. And certainly, if you want to get some more info on Based on Balls and fantasy baseball in general, look back it's like an early March. It's like a March 3rd, 2010 recording. It's entitled Episode 1. A little Star Wars allusion maybe for you there, but yeah, that should be good to go. Let's get into some of the news then for this year and what's been going on down there in Florida and Arizona.
All right. So if you haven't heard, Mr. Bronson Arroyo is out with mono right now. I'm not really too concerned about this. You know, mono will last, a few weeks at the most. He'll probably be back in action 2 weeks from now. At least that's what I would imagine. Arroyo is solid. He's just he's Mr. Dependable, puts up solid stats. I think he's still a safe pick. I don't really think this affects his fantasy value. What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably pretty much right. You know, he's not a guy with like a real high upside to begin with. But you draft him kind of late. He bolsters a pitching rotation and gives you a guy that you can kind of count on. I 2 weeks seems optimistic just from the people that I know that have mono. I'm no doctor here. He's been out 2 weeks already. It was undiagnosed. Got diagnosed, I think, yesterday. By the way, man, I always forget up front. But we're recording here on March 26th. 2011, an important factor. But I believe yesterday got diagnosed, so yeah, certainly he'll be out maybe another 2-3 sort of weeks kind of thing. But shouldn't be too big a hit to his value. The guy whose value gets a bit more of a hit, but also kind of peripheral guy, is good old Clint Barmes. Here's a guy who has had, you know, not a lot of full seasons at the major league level. He tore it up very briefly, like, you know, 2007, 2008, really more 2008. He got a chance to start regularly for Colorado and just, you know, tore it up. But since then, he's been aging rapidly and not really getting back up to those numbers anymore. Still an interesting guy. He's in Houston this year. He'll probably get pretty regular playing time. But the real news here, I guess, is that he broke his hand.
Yeah, you know, breaking a bone is definitely not a good thing. You know, you're probably going to be out, you know, 4 weeks to 4 to 6 weeks at least, maybe more, you know. It definitely is going to hurt his fantasy value. He's not going to play as many games as he should. So, you know, I'm probably not going to be drafting Barmes. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're certainly going to wait until he gets back to the major league level. If he was kind of peripheral talent to begin with, he's even more so now. The one thing I do like to talk about with Clint Barmes, too, is the reason that his 2008 great season was cut a little short. He got 417 at-bats where he was hitting .290 and put up double-digit stolen bases and home runs. If you recall, the reason that season ended early for him was because he was carrying a hunk of venison down the stairs that he had killed the deer, carved up the venison, and while carrying venison down the stairs, he had tripped and, like, broke his toe or something. So he loves these kind of, I mean, this one isn't really as much a freak injury, but always an injury candidate and an exciting one at that in Clint Barmes.
Okay, venison-related injuries, I don't know if we can call him an injury candidate.
I mean, he just catches too big of deer. Other news from down south, some stuff on the closers. We talked a little bit about some bullpens last week, but two additional bullpens for sure are going to start the season with a little bit of unrest. That'd be the Oakland A's. Andrew Bailey is down. I don't know if they have a timetable on his return, but it was a very scary injury. I caught some video of it the other day on the internet, and the guy shrieks out in pain. His arm goes dead to his side. He paces. The managers come out and get him, but visibly in a lot of pain and distress after delivering a fastball. So really nervous there, especially on a guy that's formerly had Tommy John surgery. But rumor is he's not going to have to be any more. Rumor is it's not a problem to the area that was injured before in the Tommy Johns. So that's both good and bad, right? Something new, something big. It's bad, but at least, you know, it looks like he's going to avoid the Tommy John knife and the associated year that you're out from it.
Yeah, so, you know, Andrew Bailey was definitely one of the, I would say, you know, more reliable closers in baseball last year. He had a 1.47 ERA, which is just filthy. And so, you know, obviously he's going to be out with this injury for a little while, and it's a little interesting. A guy that might see a little bump from this is Mr. Brian Fuentes, who the A's acquired in the offseason.
No,
so,
so he's been there for a full... Wait, was it last season? Oh, yeah, you're right. It was this offseason, right?
Oh, yeah, he was with LA last year.
Right.
So, you know, Fuentes will probably be, you know, stepping in to close out some games in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, certainly interesting in Brian Fuentes there. I feel like a lot of teams have kind of used Brian Fuentes and found out he's a little bit wild for their liking. The guy that I'm going to watch pretty closely in that bullpen is Brad Ziegler. He's filled in a little bit for Bailey in the past when Bailey's, you know, been out for, you know, unavailable for a day or two. I kind of like Brad Ziegler to be this kind of dark horse save candidate, but an interesting bullpen situation, or actually a very uninteresting bullpen situation that was just made very interesting by Andrew Bailey's injury. The other big closer to go down, or not really go down, but he's dealing with, I guess, some shoulder stiffness, and he's most recent news is he'll be on the 15-day DL at the beginning of the season, is Mr. Brad Lidge. I think you can pretty safely say Ryan Madsen's going to get a shot at closing in that Phillies bullpen. How do you feel about Ryan Madsen?
I like him. You know, he had an ERA under 3 last year. You know, he had a whip very close to 1. He had a pretty filthy strikeout to per nine inning ratio. I think the Phillies will be fine with Madsen stepping in, especially because they don't really even need relief pitchers when you have a guy like Roy Halladay who just finishes every game.
Right.
So I think Madsen will be a great little pickup. He's being drafted in the 22nd round already, and Lidge is the closer. So I think Madsen is a solid pickup.
Yeah, I would pay attention to some Lidge. I don't know if I would jump that 22nd round a ton, but if you can wait him out a little bit, get him in the 22nd or after, here's a guy who might be very well closing the first month of the season with how tentative they've been to bring Brad Lidge back from the DL in the past. And over a month, a guy like Madsen with a high strikeout rate, something up in the 9s and 10s, who, nets you, let's say conservatively, 6 or 7 saves over a month, could be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great April pickup if you don't pay too much.
Right. It's all about getting them for the price you want. The last development is the Cubs have actually cemented their rotation, and this will be a great little lead into some of our other conversations as we call out some starters that we like in the rest of the show. But they cemented their rotation. It's going to be headed by, of course, Ryan Dempster. It's got big old contract, Carlos Zambrano in there, Matt Garza acquired in the offseason, and then Wells in the 4 spot. The big surprise here is that Carlos Silva will not be their 5th starter, and instead it's going to be a gentleman by the name of Andrew Kashner. And the interesting thing about Andrew Kashner, not a highly touted prospect, but a guy that's put up pretty quietly solid numbers in both double and triple A's. I don't know. He's interesting to me. What do you think about this Andrew Kashner feller?
I didn't know much about him before today. But, he is going to be he's going to have the spot over Silva. So, he's definitely someone you should look at. He's probably going to be someone you might take with your last draft pick. I think he has a pretty good strikeouts per inning pitch ratio. I think he throws pretty hard, maybe somewhere in the low to mid 90s that I read. And so, I don't know much about him, but it's definitely something you could consider with your last pick, I would say.
Yep, and so the things that make you nervous about a young guy is a wild guy, especially when you see a high strikeout rate, you wonder, am I going to get beat up on whip by taking a guy like this? And that's why I look at this guy and say, here's someone who's pretty interesting. He's 24 years old, so still pretty young, and he's jumped up the minor league system very quickly. Even in 2009, he was still in single A ball. But for the past 2 years, he's kept his whip under 1.2. Last year, and granted, not a big sample size, only 60 innings, under 1. But his strikeouts have gotten over 9 as of last year. And so I think there's something interesting here that I'm gonna watch this guy. I don't know if he's a draftable guy, or maybe a very late draft guy, but a guy that I'm certainly gonna watch his first 2 starts this season and say, can I get some value here?
Yeah, exactly.
So with that said, let's jump into some pitchers that kind of fell off the radar a little bit. Last year we you and I had talked about Ubaldo Jimenez and Chris Perez, not Chris Perez is who I want. Jaime Garcia, as great, kind of late round sleeper picks for. I mean, and Jimenez was a little higher granted last year, but particularly that Jaime Garcia as interesting guys. And I've got a couple more of them this year that I'm looking at and saying, here's some interesting guys. Again, maybe last round of the draft type stuff, but guys that their upside is certainly. Ownable and certainly staff changing. Here's guys that are gonna, hopefully break out one day and really help your team. And the first guy I want to talk about is a guy that I think everyone knows a lot about already, so I'll be brief on him. But that's Zach Britton of the Orioles. He's gonna be pitching at some point this year. I would expect to call up in the first 2 or 3 months of the season. And proved himself last year a little bit at AAA. And I mean, the Orioles, I don't think have a heck of a lot to lose in terms of bringing up some young guys and seeing how they fare. Highly touted prospect, I'm very interested. How do you feel about Zach Britton?
you know, once again, I know even less about Britain than I do about Kashner.
They don't help you out. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, mid to upper level for strikeouts to nine. He's, you know, about at a seven. I mean, the big flag for me is that, you know, is this guy going to be able to cut it in the AL East? Certainly the hardest place to kind of take your knocks in Major League Baseball. But anyway, a guy that I'm watching. Let's get on to more then, I guess, because I got a couple of them here. Corey Lubka. And I don't know, I might be butchering his name on that one. I don't know what his background is, but certainly call me out to basedonballs@gmail.com if you've got a better pronunciation for me. But anyway, here's a guy who I like because he's going to be playing in San Diego, and he very well might be starting the season in the San Diego rotation. You might not even need to wait for this guy, which would be great. He's a former first-round pick in the 2007, so he's still pretty young as well. He got a cup of tea last year. Pitched 17 innings at the major leagues, but his minor league stats are, I think, what stand out to me more. Strikeouts per nine are, you know, right around seven. His whip is pretty low, so you're not taking a hit there, and it might even go down a little bit when he gets to San Diego, in that big park they got out there. Keep in mind when he's kind of taking his knocks in AAA and AA, he's playing in the Pacific League, which is noted for its small ballparks and big home run hitters. So if he's cutting it there, you know, you hope to think that he can take on the scary San Francisco Giants rotation. Another guy that I'm watching kind of late in the draft. I don't know. You want to jump in with another guy, or jump in more about Corey?
Well, I like the fact that he plays for the Padres because he gets to play in Petco, and I also like the fact that he plays out in the West. So his stat, if his minor league stats are anything, you know, if we can draw anything with at the major league level. You know, he's definitely someone I would want to consider, you know, maybe not drafting, but, you know, I want to see him pitch once at the major league level, you know, with my own eye.
Yeah, I think you might have gotten cut off there a little bit, but certainly a guy that you want to see pitch a little bit before you take the plunge on him, but certainly an interesting guy to watch.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about, here's a guy that, you know, those other ones I'm kind of pulling off the radar and being a little sneaky, right? I'm pulling them off the radar because they're prospects. That's why people don't know him yet. But here's a guy who I like a lot, who's been at the major league level for a while, but this is his 29-year-old season. He was injured last year. I liked him a lot last year. Oh, no, excuse me, his 30-year-old season. But he's injured a bunch last year. I think he's going to come back pretty fresh this year. Not a guy who's going to save your whip. He's a Colorado Rocky. Jordan, you know where I'm going with this?
I think I do, Mr. Jorge De La Rosa.
How do you feel about this here?
What I think is most attractive about De La Rosa is he's going to give you some strikeouts as well. I think his strikeout ratio is probably something, you know, 8.5 per 9 or something like that, maybe.
8.5 last year, and that was of course when he's injured and coming back from injury. Previously, he was up at 9 and 9.4 in the previous years.
So that is pretty filthy. And, you know, he's not going – he's a very late draft. He's going in the 23rd round. So if you're going to get a guy with an over 9 strikeout ratio, you know, that late in the draft, and, you know, he's coming into, the prime of his career. You know, he's in the middle of the prime of his career.
Yep.
You know, I think he's a pretty solid pick if he can stay healthy.
Right. So there's another guy that we like. And then the last guy, I mean, Jordan, you're welcome to throw in any other guys that you might have thought about in the week since we kind of touted that we would be talking about some underrated, underdrafted pitchers. But the last guy I want to talk about is Jordan Zimmermann. Here's a guy, a Washington National, which doesn't conjure great things off the bat, right? But I don't know, a guy that, again, I'm interested in. He's had a couple innings at the major league level, got injured again last year. He's been pretty dwarfed by some other key pitching, or pitchers, rather, in the nation's capital. But I don't know, I think he does a solid job, too. Last year he got in only 31 innings at the major league level, but he's 7.8 strikeouts per nine. I don't know. I guess actually, you know, the more I look at his major league numbers, really not that great. It's really the minor league numbers that sell Jordan Zimmermann to me. And again, there's that higher, you know, at AAA he's had 8.6 strikeouts per nine. He was able to post a 1.17 whip. And actually, those are his AA numbers. Let me tell you, his AAA numbers are even better, at least in the whip area and the ERA area. So I don't know. An interesting guy.
Yeah, so I don't know. The only thing about Jordan Zimmermann is that he's going a little earlier in the draft than I want him. Like, I think he's a great, like, you know, one of those last pick kind of guys. But he's going in the 22nd round. You know, Johan Santana is also going in the 22nd round.
I mean, Johan Santana's not going to pitch till July if you're optimistic.
That's true. Zambrano is going in the 22nd round.
Okay.
Those are... Yair Jurgens from Atlanta is going in the 23rd round. I think he's just going a little earlier than I'd want. I don't know. I don't really trust Zimmerman.
Okay, I buy that, but I think his upside is certainly there. I'm interested again in Jordan Zimmermann. I don't know. Are there any other pitchers you want to call out right now? Your big shot to kind of call out a guy who, if he breaks out this season, I'll have to look to you and be like, yo, man, you just called it.
So what I did here is I went to the ESPN live draft results and looked at all of the guys that were going in the 260th pick. So basically the last round, the last pick of the draft, and the few guys that I pulled out. I would say my one sleeper candidate right now for 260 was Mr. Eric Bedard. So Bedard pitching for the Mariners this spring. He's got around 15 innings. He's got an ERA of like 1.13. And
more small sample sizes, but certainly interesting.
Yeah. He's got about 14 strikeouts in 15 innings and only 5 walks over the same time. So he's got almost a 3-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio. And, you know, he was a great pitcher.
Yep.
So, he has it in him, but can he just... you know, tame those injury demons and get back on the field, you know, that'd be pretty sweet. So he's my 260th pick in the draft.
Okay.
Other guys that like at 260, Jay Happ for Houston. I think Happ is pretty solid. He's got a mid-3 ERA. I think he's just going to be a solid ERA contributor. And at 260, how can you...
Might need to pick Happ up a little bit earlier than that 260th pick from what I look at, but interesting nonetheless.
So also going in ESPN leagues at 260 is Mike Pelfrey. So Pelfrey last season was, you know, pretty amazing.
Uh-huh.
And then he had a slight fall. He went 15-9 last year with a 3.66.
Yeah.
So the thing I like about Pelfrey is that he pitches at Citi Field.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I would say I would pitch him in all of his home games, and then, you know, spot start him on the road.
Okay, I mean, there's certainly another guy to like some stuff about. Not going to give you maybe the high strikeout upside as some other guys. You know what you're getting a little bit, and he might not get any wins on the Mets, but should keep his ERA and WHIP under control.
Yeah. So those are the kind of guys I like. You know, at 260, if you want to go way out on a limb.
Do it. Just do it.
Right now, the Yankees' fourth starter, Ivan Nova.
Aha.
Yeah, he's a little crazy. Throws pretty hard, but, you know, he didn't pitch many innings at the major league level last year, but he's going to be a full-time starter with the Yankees.
Yeah,
so
I watched a spring training match where he was pitching the other day, and I was mildly impressed. You know, I think the media makes it up to be, you know, what the heck's New York going to do beyond their number 3 starting pitcher? But Ivan Nova could come up and you know, at least win games on the Yankees, and then, you know, everything else is gravy, right?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I watched when Nova pitched last year with the Yankees, and he was always great when he started, and then he seemed to collapse in the middle of the game. And then I read this stat today that in his first 4 innings of any of his starts last year, he had a 2.5 ERA and a 0.96 WHIP, and then he just implodes, you know, somewhere after in the 5th inning.
Okay.
So the
interesting thing you're saying for him then is that you really need to watch kind of how deep he's able to go in performances, 5th, 6th inning of some of these last spring training starts, you know, if he's still tiring or if when the Yankees stretch him out properly. if this is a guy that can really do it.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen with him.
Interesting. Okay, well, that's I think everything I wanted to get through here today, and I don't want to give too heavy listening to everyone. You know, we're still struggling a little bit with this schedule, a little bit getting started back up for this new season. Of course, the difficulties of one man living on the other side of the international dateline. But we'll get it together. We'll get you another episode next week. We'll also be able to talk a little bit about how some of our drafts went last week, which should be interesting. Jordan, as parting words, I want you not to really analyze the situation, but tell me what order you would take the following three outfielders.
Okay.
Jason Hayward, Jay Bruce, and Drew Stubbs.
Let's see. I think I'm going to take Bruce first, and then it's a toss-up with Hayward and Stubbs. Stubbs is going to steal a lot more bases. You know, I'm not a huge Hayward fan.
I know Stubbs is throwing so much. Maybe that's the point I'm trying to make here a little bit.
I think I would go Bruce, then Stubbs, then Hayward.
And I think,
you know, here's the thing. I'm not going to draft Hayward. He's going to go six rounds before I would even like want to take him.
Right.
So I'm not even really looking at him. But I think I would. I wouldn't mind having Bruce or Stubbs on my team. Going where they given their average draft positions relative to Hayward.
Yeah. So it's kind of a question here, and I will analyze this a little bit just before we go. Of choosing batting average over peripheral stats. I feel like with Bruce and Stubbs, you're getting, you know, stolen bases, more home runs. With Hayward, you're getting the average, which you gotta like, but at the same time, I don't know. I just wonder, you know, hopefully he grows into some more home runs that he's been touted as, but he hasn't done it yet, and you wonder.
Okay. Look, I just gotta give you some stats real quick.
Okay.
So Bruce had a .281 average last year. Hayward had .277.
Bruce hit, so you don't even get the average as much as I thought.
Bruce hit 25 home runs. Hayward hit 18.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Stubbs hit 22. Hayward hit 18. Stubbs stole 30. Hayward stole 11. So you're losing average with Stubbs. He's got a .255 average.
Yep.
But you have nine other guys to bolster your average.
Right.
You know, not every player out there can steal 30 bases.
Right.
So I think there's a lot. You get a lot more benefit from the 30 stolen bases than the slightly lower average.
So I agree with you, and I think both what you're hearing us both say is that even though Hayward's draft position, average draft position, is ahead both these guys, Bruce and Stubbs are you know, I think guys that I would consider drafting earlier.
Absolutely.
Okay, well that's the last little thing I wanted to get in this week. So I'll tell you this.
All right, talk to you guys later.